Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted against the house, but it did not collapse because it had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted against the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and unlike their scribes. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the last 2.5 weeks, we've been pondering the second greatest homily Jesus ever gave. The greatest homily Jesus gave was from the pulpit of the cross on Good Friday. But he describes in the Sermon on the Mount who he is, and how we're supposed to grow into his likeness through our convictions, through our thoughts, through our deep desires, and especially through our actions. Yesterday, if we didn't have the feast of St. John the Baptist, Jesus would have said, "I've planted these seeds in you. You've got to be a good fruit-bearing tree. It's supposed to have consequence in your life." Today, he finishes with two other images. The first image is doing the will of our Father in heaven, doing precisely what he sent the Lord Jesus to teach us to do. It's not going to be enough, Jesus says, for us merely to pray. That's what he means when he puts the words, "Lord, Lord." It's not enough for us just to preach. You'll say to me on that day, "Did we not prophesy in your name?" It's not enough to work miracles. "Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?" It's necessary, is what we've been hearing this week in the first reading, that all of this come from an obedient faith, from a real adhesion or inhesion in the Lord, so that the Father who knows us, we know and responds. It's not so much external deeds severed from a heart, but a heart that overflows into these loving deeds, a tree that produces fruit, that is what pleases the Father. So as we've heard these words of the Sermon on the Mount, how have we heard them? Have we heard them in a way that brings us into greater knowledge of who the Lord is, who we are, and the type of bond that we're supposed to have with the Lord? Or has it just remained certain things that we can say to the Lord in prayer, or maybe preach about, or maybe even use the power of, to do some good things for the Lord in the world, while what we're really doing is not increasing our knowledge of the Lord, that union with the Lord, and helping others to grow into that same type of union? "I never knew you. Depart from me." Jesus wants deeply to know us. One of the great ways that he teaches us, that he gives us in order to know Him is through His holy word, a word that changes the way we pray so that we pray as we know, changes the way we preach so that we preach with love, the God of love that we know, so that we do deeds not for our own glory but for our own name or for the name of our institute or for the name of the priesthood or anything else, but we do it for the holy name of God. And then Jesus wraps up with this incredible parable of the two foundations. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them in relationship to the Father who knows and is known will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. Jesus was, he's described in St. Mark's Gospel, as the tecton. Jesus was the construction worker. It's a far broader term than carpenter. Jesus used to build houses. And he would have known from that area that after the seasonal rains would come and flow down the valleys, they'd leave a very flat seabed. They'd leave a flat riverbed. And it would be very easy for the naive to say, what an awesome place to build a house. We don't even have to do any measurements. Let's just put it there. But then the rains would come anew and destroy the house. To build on craggy rocks all throughout the Holy Land was a much bigger challenge. But when you did it, when the storms come, it would be secure because it had been secured deeply in things that weren't going to be moved. A lot of the times we can look at the principles of Christianity, and so many in the world will look at the principles of Christianity and say, that's pretty hard. We can look at the Sermon on the Mount about turning the other cheek, loving our enemy. We can look about not lusting in the heart. We can look about not hating in the heart. We can look at what Jesus has taught through the Beatitudes about choosing to be poor in spirit, choosing to mourn like He mourns, choosing to a life that will lead us to be reviled by all on account of Jesus' name and persecuted. And we can say, hard life. We can look and say, poverty, chastity, obedience isn't a walk in the park. We can look at so many of these things and say, much harder than the alternative. But those are the craggy rocks. Those are the firm foundations on which Jesus is telling us throughout the Sermon on the Mount that the wise person will build. The winds are going to come. Our vocations will be buffeted. The rains will come sometimes when we least expect it. And we will be wet and soaking and a little bit like St. Teresa complaining about the way Jesus treats his friends. Those days will happen. But the Lord wants us to root ourselves very deeply in not just listening to His word, but doing it, because it's when we take on the flesh of, we give our own flesh to the Word of God. It's when we build our lives in these holy habits that when the inevitable storms come, we will remain secure. We see the consequences of these types of decisions in the first reading today. We don't know how much Abraham and Sarah would have known about what the truths of the book of Genesis, that man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife and they would become one flesh, teaches us right there about the principle of monogamy. The principle right there of the union between unity and procreation, that the two are intrinsically connected. We don't know how much they knew about this, but we see the consequences of behaving in another way. At this time, which is different than our time, they took procreation far more important than they took unity because of the incredible value of children. Today, we take unity far more valuable than procreation. If somebody has an illegitimate child, that is not a means of praise for either of the two parties in the marriage. We're supposed to have both and to recognize the intrinsic connection between the two, because the clinging, the mutual clinging in the union of marriage is meant to lead to a one flesh union, which is not the physical contact of a man and woman in the act of making love, but the one flesh fusion in a child regardless of what Sarah and Abraham knew about these truths at their time, when Sarah put Abraham's having a child as more valuable than their loving union, jealousy invaded, arrogance invaded, and real division happened to their marriage even after 50 or 60 years of marriage. Sarah was seeking to build on some other foundation than the truth about man, woman, and marriage. And there were consequences, and storms came, and they were destabilized. God wants something different from us to be able to look at it. Let's make three quick applications. First, we're in this fortnight for freedom that the U.S. bishops ask us to enter into and pray seriously every year. We need to look at the foundation of our country and whether it's really being built on the wisdom that the Lord has taught or on other foundations. One of the reasons why we need this fortnight is because we all recognize that to a large degree, many of the citizens of our country that once was built on the foundation of what the Lord has revealed is now building on the fads that lead us to take the life of innocent little babies, the fads that lead us to pretend that marriage can be a husbandless or a wifeless institution, the fads that can lead us to look at immigrants with xenophobia rather than with fraternal welcoming and warmth, the fads that can lead to thinking that we can have real freedom if we don't allow people the freedom to follow their conscience rather than being compelled to do things against that conscience. We need to look at it and become people who show the attractive witness of those who have built on a foundation that won't last for the nanoseconds it takes to use a Google search engine, but will last forever. Second foundation, because I know several of you are preparing to go on a 30-day retreat, is to the religious life in this year for consecrated life. This is a tremendous opportunity for you to ground yourself ever more deeply on the crag-like structure of the Word of God, which doesn't sort of necessarily come off neat and clean, but all of those are part of where we need to secure, and this is an opportunity over the course of 30 days to hear anew the Lord Jesus speaking and to correspond to his help, to become true doers of the word, those who imitate Mary's fiat, to build your entire life on everything that comes from the mouth of God. Third application is to the Holy Priesthood, which I received 16 years ago tomorrow. You know, St. John Chrysostom once said that the roads of hell are paved with the skulls of bad priests and bishops. That it's not enough for us to say, Lord, Lord, as we pray our breviary. It's not enough to celebrate the Mass and hear confessions. It's not enough to stomp on the head of the devil as we do with various aspects of our ministry. It's not enough even to do mighty deeds in the Lord's name, because in every single one of those things, we're just cooperating with the help of God. What the Lord really wants is to be known, for us to know him in love, so that he can work so much more effectively through the priesthood, so that people might be able to see in every priest what they saw in St. John Vianney and ours. Dieu dans un homme, God in a man. We ask you please, sisters, to pray for me as I pray for you, that I might be someone who, in the midst of storms, remains solidly fixed on Jesus, bearing fruit that will last into eternity. We pray for the sisters going on the 30 days in preparation for your vows, that this might be a time in which you become ever more living, walking commentaries of the full beauty of the Christian life that Jesus has been preaching to us over the course of the last 2.5 weeks in this holy Sermon on the Mount. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.